Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Thank you for that staccato introduction, Jim. Welcome to the podcast, Loyal Trendies. Every week I run down the hottest trending topics from the internet, and I do this by scouring Google Trends for the items generating the most searches. On Monday, no item was searched more than school closings as a snowstorm settled into the Northeast and dumped a pile of the white stuff on us.
The white stuff.
Whenever something like this happens, and by that I mean a snowstorm and not a Weird Al cutaway, all kinds of weather-related terms trend as well, like Weather Channel, National Weather Service, Weather NYC, Weather Forecast, Weather.com, and Alexandra Daddario's nude scene. The weather-related trends continued right into Tuesday as schools were closing all throughout the northeastern United States, which is bad news for working parents and good news for Netflix. As a kid, a snow day always struck me as a special vacation day, sent by God when he knew that I had not studied for my algebra quiz. I am fairly confident that, depending on my wintry sin count, that he would sometimes withhold snow days out of spite. All my Jewish friends can get on board with that, right? Spiteful God. Oh, how I relished the most treasured of snow day bonuses when the neighborhood plow would corral all the snow into the one cul-de-sac down the street into a giant mountain in which caves could be carved and injuries could be suffered. The crazy flutter of the heart a grown-up feels when winning a scratch-and-win lotto ticket prize, worth more than $2, is what my youthful heart felt every time the Y102 announcer would utter the phrase, "Wilson School District, closed." No, not the one-hour delay, which failed to provide enough time to sleep in or play outside, and no, not the two-hour delay, which meant the worthless truncated classes, but closed. Climate conquers curriculum. I'm a long way removed from rejoicing over school closings. I guess somewhere along the way, I turned into my dad. But there was more to the early part of this week that captured people's interest, like Katy Perry, the pop singer that divorced Russell Brand right when I was warming up to him. Good thing we will never, ever share a social circle. Katy Perry was trending because of her interview in the new GQ, and this was covered by Time. Time and GQ are magazines, which is how people got news before Twitter. Also, I will explain what newspapers were in a future episode.
Well, nobody ever drove me to school when it was 90 degrees below.
Time magazine was critical of Katy Perry for praying to God for boobs as a teenager. Apparently, she did not know they would grow on their own at the correct time. I also suppose this means that Time magazine will be critical about my algebra quiz sin count theorem. I do know what the distributive property is, Mr. Zimmerman. I just need a minute to think about all the things I studied last night while the Wonder Years was on. Katy Perry was incorrectly characterizing geishas as loving unconditionally, which overlooks the whole patron business transaction thing. Which is understandable, right? Katy Perry makes pop music. She doesn't make Asian studies textbooks. How many geishas can write catchy hooks with double entendres slipped into all of the couplets, huh? Oh, she has a team of writers that do most of the heavy lifting for her, does she? All right, forget that. The trending show was made possible by Cobra Electronics. That's true. Because I clicked on the Katy Perry story, Time magazine's website thought I also might like this article, Japan's Booming Sex Niche, Elder Porn. For any younger listeners, that is Japanese for Cornish hen. They also had a video they wanted me to watch where Selena Gomez talks about tap water. I don't know how sultry Selena Gomez's voice may be, but I do think someone may want to take that video title back to the drawing board if click-throughs are underperforming. Parents, a photobomb is not a dangerous thing the TSA scouts for. Photobombing is the act of appearing in someone else's photo. Sometimes it happens by accidents, sometimes it happens deliberately. Regardless of that, photobombing is never grounds for murder. I shouldn't have to say that out loud, right? Not in a civilized society. Unfortunately, 23-year-old Kim Pham died Wednesday following her accidental photobombing outside a Santa Ana nightclub. A fight broke out after she walked through someone else's photo, and Pham was knocked to the ground by one woman and then kicked in the temple by another. Pham was kept on life support until her organs could be donated to others, and then, with life support withdrawn, she died. Pham was rendered brain dead following the attack, and of the five people that participated in the assault, two are in custody as of this recording. The police are seeking three more people of interest. The latest news on this story contained links to these stories they thought I might want to read. Colorado man posts selfie of baby daughter before killing her and self. Girl, 14, accused of fatally stabbing 11-year-old sister. You know, sometimes talking about what's trending in the world is a real drag. Oof. Let's pick out something frivolous from the top trending topics here. Oh, Tanaka. Is this about Masato Tanaka? It's a baseball story. All right, forget that. Shots fired at University of Oklahoma on Wednesday. Ah, oh, jeez. Texas executes Edgar Tamayo. Come on. Bruce Jenner's sex change, for crying out loud. Any other week I would jump on that story, honestly. Ooh, what's this here? Arnold Schwarzenegger in a fake mustache? Ooh, this has some potential. All right. 50,000 people followed the story of an undercover Arnold Schwarzenegger on Wednesday after a video of him roaming around a California Gold's Gym was posted online. I gotta admit, it's a little hard to believe that people did not recognize the Schwartz given how shoddy his disguise was, and yet, some people were fooled. This stunt apparently was to raise money for after-school programs, and I watched the video even a second time here, and I have no idea how this video raises money for after-school programs. It's been watched nearly 11 million times. Thank goodness Thursday was rife with the kind of stories I like on this show. Number one with a bullet, over 5 million searches for Justin Bieber. He's the malnourished Canadian maker of sounds. He was arrested in Miami Beach. The Beeb was nabbed by cops for driving like a maniac and told them that he'd been drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, and taking prescription pills. And they hadn't even asked him yet. When asked for his license and registration, the Beeb then confessed to numerous Ponzi schemes and a human trafficking ring that he operates out of his tour bus. Upon discovering his license was expired, which I guess is what they decided to go with instead of the whole driving under the influence of several things charge, the Beeb confessed to brutally killing Tupac with his bare hands. I am not a fan or an unfan of Justin Bieber's, but I do feel like it brings him down to my level when I poke fun at him. But even I have to admit, he takes a downright adorable mugshot. And there are not a lot of adorable mugshots to be found, loyal trendies. Maybe I'm unduly influenced by the mugshots I've seen over the years, and if you need an example, go ahead and Google up Scott Hall mugshot or Nick Nolte mugshot. See? The Beeb is adorable. Well, not everyone thinks so. There's the neighbor suing him for egging his house. He owes a former bodyguard over $400,000 in back pay. He also spat in somebody's face and kicked a guy. So in some of these instances, he's really just guilty of being a dumb kid. I mean, who here did not have some misguided moments in their youth where they committed some petty vandalism like smashing a pumpkin on Halloween or drag racing a Ferrari in Miami Beach at 4 a.m. after taking all the available chemicals or forgetting to pay our personal bodyguards $400,000 for keeping all the screaming teenage girls away from us? See? Justin Bieber is each and every one of us. Thank you, Cobra Electronics, for sponsoring the trending show, and thank you for making the awesome Airwave 360. It makes use of Bluetooth technology, and it's designed to be a hands-free portable speaker and speakerphone. Get a load of this. It's got Siri voice enablement and gesture control for enhanced 360-degree sound quality and up to 20 hours of music playback. It's sized for travel, fits right in my cup holder, and I can use it around the house or when I'm on the go. The Airwave 360 is available right now, and the new, sleeker Airwave Mini is coming out in just a few short weeks. Head over to Cobra.com to find out more. You'll be glad you did. There were even more frivolous stories trending on Thursday, my friends. A high school football thrower, recruited by Michigan State, grabbed some attention for himself after a video and story of him allegedly body-slamming a school security guard went quasi-viral. No one seems to know what provoked the attack. The guard is fine after a day of rest at home. No charges have yet been filed against the temperamental tosser of pigskin. Neither the police nor the school seem to know much of anything, and the video of the incident is very grainy and hard to decipher. But I can tell you this. That was a power slam, not a body slam. I'm available for hire as an expert witness, attorneys of the plaintiff. Gal Gadot was trending after Variety printed details of her three-picture deal with Warner Brothers, which would include a standalone Wonder Woman film and the long-suffering and ever-changing Justice League movie. The articles on this topic were brief, and all contained one of the three photos of Gal Gadot we've all seen already. Does no one have her headshot? How could that be? On Friday, the top trending topic was Mavericks, and not the operating system for Macs, lo and behold. Mavericks is a surf contest in San Mateo County, California, distinguished from other contests for being big wave, not little wave. 24 competitors braved 100-foot waves and frigid temperatures to push their limits, thrill the thousands that came to cheer them on, and to keep Aquaman busy until pre-production on the Justice League movie begins. Many of the wipeouts were so severe, the surfers had to inflate special vests to bring them back to the surface so they wouldn't drown. After 7 hours of surfing, the winner was South African Twiggy Baker, who won Mavericks back in 2006. The grand prize for being the most tubular and not dying was a whopping $12,000. If you're curious, the flight from Cape Town, South Africa to California runs about $1,500, and the hotel where the surfers stayed runs $200 a night. So just roll that around your mental calculator for a second there. After taxes, and you probably have to pay taxes as well, bringing that back into South Africa, that leaves about... Well, after give or take 20 years working in professional wrestling, having a risk versus financial reward talk where I try to be the voice of pragmatism is going to be largely disingenuous. But two dudes have died at this competition in recent years. And to get to the spot where you pick up the waves, you must swim through a feeding ground for great white sharks. The closest thing I ever came to something like that was a friendly fellow named Shark Boy, who had a mask that smelled like a moldy sock. Full disclosure, he did try to bite me. I have a policy here on the Trending Show that I don't do stories about topics I cannot pronounce. The subject of this story is a ship with a name I cannot pronounce, but that is not important to the story, and the story is too good to pass up. There is a hulk of a Canadian cruise ship that has been adrift in the Atlantic for more than a year. It was built in the Soviet Union. Recent storms have moved this ghost ship toward the coast of England. And do you know what is aboard this otherwise unmanned ship?
Radioactive hamsters from a planet near Mars.
Wrong, Mr. Yankovic. Plague-carrying cannibal rats. That's right. To survive, they eat one another. I, Frankenstein has been called the worst movie of all time. It cost $65 million to make and is at 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. Why do we need to make up or rehash old horror stories when there is gold out there like drifting ghost ship crewed by infectious cannibal rats? Did you hear what I just said? This is at the least one of those found footage scare flicks in the Blair Witch mold and probably a pilot and partial order for a series. If there isn't a Kickstarter to make this movie, we better start it ourselves, Trendies. The Daily Mirror, a paper and ink thing British people browse over Earl Grey, warns all UK types to remain vigilant for the 300-foot vessel. Because, in the United Kingdom, given the fog density, it is not unusual for a 300-foot vessel to sneak up on you, even when at home watching the telly. The Daily Mirror was worried that the Britons were not being sufficiently vigilant in this case. Here's what you should be watching for, the trailer I am already storyboarding for my forthcoming feature film, Drifting Ghost Ship Crewed by Infectious Cannibal Rats. Sidebar, does anyone know the origin story for Splinter? This sounds like it could very well tie in if there isn't a canonical Eastman and Laird blessed version. Sidebar to that sidebar, did you know that Nickelodeon bought complete ownership of the Ninja Turtles franchise from Laird and Mirage Studios for $60 million? I have nothing further to add. That's all I have to share with you right now. I urge you to lend your support to National Pro Wrestling Day and their mission to save lives in malarious parts of developing nations. And you can read more about this event and their mission, which takes place on February 1st at nationalprowrestlingday.com. Catch me over at the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe podcast. I make it every week with Clayton Morris. And then I'll catch you back here in about a week for another dose of What's Trending. Adios, amigos.